Welcome to the Revenue Throughput Podcast, the show for B2B owners who are hungry for growth, stuck on a plateau, or just want better ways to deal with the everyday challenges of revenue growth. You'll hear from industry experts and fellow boots-on-the-ground business owners who will share their practical and powerful strategies for B2B business success. I'm your host, Jose Palomino, CEO of ValueProp and creator of the Revenue Throughput System. Now on to the show. Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of our podcast. I'm Jose Palomino, your host. And today we're going to talk about the fourth major dimension in developing your competitive edge. We said before that you certainly need a value proposition. And by that, I mean far more than just like a tagline, but the actual true truth of what you offer that is of importance, of even urgent importance to your best customer, the customer you most want to replicate. These are the customers that maybe you have right now and you're thinking, gee, I wish I had five more just like them. What are they like? Who are they? And what do they most need? What's their biggest problem that you can even begin to address? And then how do you address it? That's the essence of your value proposition. Then we talked a little bit in some prior episode around the issue of value delivery. And that's to say that if you make those promises, if that's what sets you apart, if that's what you want people to pay attention to, what are you doing operationally, organizationally, culturally to ensure that you're delivering against that? And most recently, we looked at marketing for leads. And we're talking in the context of B2B. So we're not marketing for immediate conversions. Most of you listening to this, if you own a B2B business, you're not thinking in terms of, gee, I want to have a 30-minute call and somebody will buy my $500,000 machine, or will sign us up for a one-year contract at $250,000 to do a service. That's not typically the way B2B works. It's a more considered purchase. And although you may be an owner-led business in, let's say, a few million to $20, $30 million, where you have a lot of sway over decisions you make, chances are you're marketing to much bigger organizations that have more formal processes that are also much further down the funnel, so to speak, in terms of consideration. They already know what they want. They know who the players are. And if they're talking to you, they think you might be one of them. So marketing there has to be finding and connecting with those people who are looking for solutions that you offer to solve the problem that they want solved, that's important to them. And how do you connect with them? So that's the marketing for leads as an idea, not marketing just for branding. And branding is important. Positioning is super important. People have to see you as different to want to deal with you. But you have to be measuring not on vanity metrics of how much web traffic we have or how much social engagement we get, but bottom line is how many opportunities is our investment in marketing yielding? And is the juice worth the squeeze, so to speak? And then that brings us finally to this fourth dimension of converting those opportunities. And essentially that's sales. In almost every situation, if you're a B2B company, you pay off all your effort, your positioning, your engineering, your product development, your operations, your marketing, your trade show presence, your PR, your social media, whatever you're doing, and even your hard scrabble lead generation, if you're dialing for dollars, whatever you're doing has to pay off in a conversion process. And we call that, of course, a sales process. What is your sales process? Now, I've asked many groups of leaders this, many groups overseeing sales and many groups of owners who oversee the people who oversee sales for them. And I ask them this question, and I often get back something more or less along the lines of, you know, a customer expresses an interest. We have a discovery conversation, maybe one or two other things to scope it. And then what we do is we actually, we submit a proposal, we follow up on the proposal, and we close the business or we don't. And that's certainly at the highest possible level, a pretty typical sales process, from some initial customer engagement to you actually get the signature from that customer. And then from that point on, it's delivery. But I want you to think about it a little bit differently. I want you to think about what are the steps that your last five, six significant deals have required of you. Have they required of you testimonials or references? Have they required you to do some sort of spreadsheet analysis, validating your pricing? Have they required you to do some site visits where the customer has to come and see your operation, or they need to see whatever you're selling in operation somewhere else? They need to actually see it. What are those steps that take place typically for your biggest deals, for your most important deals? And if those are things that you say, gee, there's a pattern here, these things seem to rinse, repeat, they happen often, then my challenge to you is don't let them happen in a way that you're treating each time they come up as a surprise, like scrambling, how do we do this now? If you know they're going to come up, then think about how do we do that better? How do we do that more excellently? How do we do it in a way that advances the conversation? Now, there are five basic areas of conversation that every sales process has to cover with one or, and again, for larger B2B sales, one or more people in more in one or more meetings. And the first conversation is the business conversation. Just, are you the right kind of company for them to be dealing with? Sometimes that will manifest as somebody asking you, are you experienced in our industry? And some of you may sell something that crosses industries, in which case you say, well, we're not super specialists in your industry. We are super specialists in this process. So let's say you're selling to aerospace and you have an advanced electron beam welding machine that works for anything that has high tolerances, for example, but you haven't sold to aerospace before. You can tell them, I haven't sold to aerospace before, but we sold to medical device companies that also need to have, you know, 1 micron tolerances between welds or some, whatever the proper language is for that particular type of sale. So that business conversation is just to say, are you aligned as an organization, as an entity to do business with them? Sometimes your customer is so big, they only want to deal with a very big company. Or what you specialize in is so specialized that they want to know that you have the necessary experiences, the necessary references, and so on. Whatever that is, that's business alignment. And it's hard to get by that. But you need to get buy-in for what you have to offer. So you have to make sure you cover that. That's a conversation that's going to come up very often. The second one, the most obvious one, is financial. So it's not just how much does it cost, because that's really irrelevant. If your solution is $1 million, but it saves your customer $10 million, and you could quantify that believably, meaning not just with case studies and spreadsheets that kind of say that, and then when you really ask people, did you believe that? They're kind of skeptical about it because there's so much of that out there. But if you could convince them believably, then it doesn't matter what your price is. Now, I don't want to be Pollyanna on that. I realize price matters in a competitive market. But you want to address the value of what you're delivering financially. And then also looking at it from a total cost of ownership. So it's not just what does your solution cost relative to others similar to you in the category, for example, but also what is the opportunity for them if they install your equipment? If you can give them 3 times the throughput, but you're twice the price of a replacement piece of equipment, you are more expensive. But if you get them to think about time horizons that are 12 months, 24 months, 36 months out, they realize, gee, it actually is less expensive. And in fact, lets us do things we could not otherwise do. That's the power of thinking in terms of the financial conversation. You're going to have a technical conversation. Even if you're offering professional services, industrial services, anything B2B, there's a sense of you have to explain the how. So yes, it's easy to say in theory, you're not selling the drill, you're selling the hole. That is true. And if you can convince them you can make the hole, that is 80% of the way there. But if they are knowledgeable buyers, they're still going to say, how exactly do you do that? Does it sound believable? For example, if you say, we make holes, and you describe a speed and a quality of hole equal to pretty much every other drill on the market, for example, that doesn't matter that your drill uses water, uses air pressure, uses lasers, doesn't matter. But what if you claim our drill will drill holes 3 times faster? Okay, now I need to know if I'm a knowledgeable buyer a little bit about the how. So the technical has to be explained. The fourth conversation that you need to have in your sales process thought through, and this is stuff you can all think about in advance and think about how we're going to answer this question when it comes up, is competitive. The competitive conversation simply means that they're often a buyer, a smart buyer is going to ask you, how do you compare to, and they'll name your competitor. Or how do you address this? And you know they're talking about a capability that your competitor emphasizes. So you need to be ready for that conversation because it's not a new conversation. It's something that happens all the time. And the fifth conversation, especially if you're new to the category or new to that customer, is the risk conversation. Simply stated, how do you mitigate risk? What are your make good policies? How do you make them feel safe? Saying, well, we used to buy from this other company. We used to buy, you know, sprockets from Spacely Sprockets. And now we want to buy from your company, Acme Sprockets, but we bought from Spacely for 20 years. They know us. We know them. Everything is known. How do you address that? So when you start thinking about your sales process to convert opportunities, you have to realize that you have to think about how do you respond to those conversations. Now, this is all part of really keeping your edge because somewhere along the line in all five of those conversations, you should be finding a way to emphasize the things that set you apart. So if what sets you apart, for example, is that you have a more productive technology, the business conversation would be something like we're bringing this new, more productive technology, let's say electron beam welding or something, to aerospace. We find that financially, because of our greater productivity, our clients, our customers are able to double capacity in the space of 18 months. In terms of technical, the way we do that is we've leveraged some new patented technologies that allow us to safely apply electron beam welding in a way that people weren't able to do before. Competitively, we are better than traditional welding for these reasons. Tighter seams, tighter tolerances, faster productivity. And risk-wise, this is a proven technology because we've done it in these places or in these kind of companies. These are people we've dealt with. These are our case studies. So you could weave your competitive edge through those five critical conversations. So this is just one part, really tip of the iceberg, of thinking through your sales process to win more and better business, to actually start ramping up and growing sales. I hope this has been helpful to you. Drop me a line. You can always find me on LinkedIn at josepalomino.com. It'll take you right to my LinkedIn profile. Visit us at valueprop.com to learn more about us and to get some free resources there. Check out, of course, subscribe to our podcast, also read our blog, and sign up for Insider, where we send you a weekly insight, sort of like what we've just been going through right now, that will help you as you think through your strategy for growth. Until next time, take care. This is Jose Palomino signing off. Hey, thanks for listening to another episode of the Revenue Throughput Podcast. If you like this episode, and if you like the series, make sure you subscribe below. And also, if you liked it, please do review it. When people are looking for something exciting to listen to, especially the kind of content we're bringing, which is practical insights for B2B companies, this is a place and a free resource that they can take advantage of. Let them know about it with your review. So subscribe, review, enjoy. Thanks again.